This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. When Elvis Presley or anybody else sings about jail, they always make it sound like it's a party. But, of course, anybody who's been to jail could tell you it's not a party inside. And it's also not a party once you get out of prison and have to go back to having a regular life. You got to deal with a lot of laws that are set up to frustrate your efforts to live life as a normal, free American. This week, Attorney General Eric Holder gave a speech in which he said that ex-felons should have their rights to vote given back to them. There are 31 states now where if you're a felon, once you get out of jail, you do not have the right to vote. Holder said, I know that we can't do anything about this at the Justice Department at the federal level, but we can work with the states to urge them to make a change. He cited a recent study in Florida by the parole commission there that says that just a simple thing like restoring voting rights makes somebody three times less likely to end up back in the criminal justice system. But that doesn't really change life as much as what my next guest wants to do. Her name is Linda Evans. She is from the group called All of Us or None. They're the group behind the Ban the Box movement. The box in question is the little box on job applications that asks you, have you ever been arrested or convicted of a crime? We've got 65 million adult Americans who have some type of criminal record. So you check that box, yes. And what message are you sending to your employer? And what are you doing to your employment chances? Linda, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Good morning.
Please call me Paul.
Okay.
Tell me about the impact that that has on people that you know.
Well, the box that requires that you disclose any past conviction, of course, it varies from application to application. In some states, they ask about arrests. In most states, it's legal to ask about convictions. Means that you have no chance of getting a job, of getting a house, of getting insurance, often of even getting public benefits because, of course, food stamps and public housing are both regulated so that if you have a felony drug conviction, you are ineligible for public benefits of those types. So basically, it means that people who come out of prison already devastated by the trauma of being locked up behind bars and being separated from their families and communities have very little chance of even getting to an interview stage with a housing provider or an employer because that box, checking that box, means that you will not be considered.
You know, there's that old expression, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Maybe we need to change it to don't do the crime if you don't ever want to have a life again. Because even if you were to serve the 3 years, 4 years,
like it's
5 years.
Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Because you've already done your time in prison, you've been punished, you've completed any of the sanctions that were levied against you by the courts, and there you are. You can't get a job, you're on the street, often your family has abandoned you, or if you've been in prison a long time, many of them may have just died. So you're pretty alone and you're pretty shook up by getting out of prison and trying to readjust to the world outside. And you have parole conditions that require you to have stable housing and employment. If you can't get it, you're in danger of violating your parole and going back to prison again.
Hmm. So what success has your group had in changing this?
You know, we're very, very proud of the fact that so many people around the country have rallied to this cause and to this need for reform. Now, 56 cities or counties, and I mean large cities and counties like Atlanta, New York City, Chicago, San Francisco, Oakland, Cleveland, Ohio, many, many places in many states have banned the box in their own communities or their own counties. And 10 states overall have passed legislation that require all of the cities and counties and often special districts in their states to establish these reforms, these ban-the-box reforms. So it means that in those 56 public employee venues and those 10 states, people really have a much fairer chance of getting employment.
I read that Minnesota was one of the states that came on board last year, and they went as far as to tell private employers in the state that they at least have to offer somebody a job before they can even go back and check the records of somebody they're looking to hire, right?
Yeah, we think Minnesota is really in the vanguard for that, and activists in Minnesota actually convinced Target, which is a huge employer, to ban the box on their employment applications as well. So we hope that private employers will see that this actually is a way for them to contribute to the life of the community and the recovery of the community, but also for them to get great employees that they may never have considered because of that box.
I'm glad you mentioned Target because I was going to ask about that. I knew that they were headquartered in Minnesota, and I wondered if the law applied to them. It's nice to hear that Target is applying this nationwide. But I do have to ask the question from the other side of the fence here, which is, let's say I'm an employer and I'm looking to hire somebody. I don't want somebody with a criminal record who's going to be around my cash registers and my inventory and all the rest of that.
Well, what we're asking employers to do is to really stop and consider the overall picture. Number one, most people who have convictions have not been convicted of stealing from their employers. Most of them, 60% of the convictions that people have, if not more, are drug-related convictions. So that if you talk to someone that has that conviction in their past and they note it on their application form, you may well find out that that person has been in recovery for a year or even 10 years. And that box is no longer relevant. That conviction no longer has anything to do with how they live their lives.
Or even worse, they might have been busted years ago when the drug wars were even more draconian than they are now. They could have gone to jail for a joint.
Exactly, exactly. In fact, in Boston, the man on the city council who started the reform process there had been busted for urinating out in back of a bar when he was in college, which I think many, many people have done. And he was going to be promoted after 9/11 because so many of his co-employees had unfortunately died at the World Trade Center. When they reviewed his employment record, he'd been working, he was a vice president at the company, they would not promote him and, in fact, fired him because of that conviction, which was probably 30 or 40 years in his past.
Wow.
So he went on to lead the city council in Boston to enact this ordinance.
Is there a racial component to this?
Yes. You know, I think it's probably something that your audience really understands, that, number one, more people of color are arrested and convicted, and so the proportion of black and Latino people in our prisons is extremely high and disproportionate to the number of, to their percentage in the population as a whole. So, first of all, there's a real racial component in our criminal justice system, and it is racist and it is discriminatory. But then, once someone has served their time and more black and Latino people go to prison as opposed to just doing probation, once you've served your time, you get out, and there's additional racial discrimination because, of course, employers often have racist attitudes to begin with. So what we found, or what the studies have found, is that white people with convictions have a higher callback rate than black people without convictions when they go into job interviews.
Wow.
And that's a serious problem. So by removing that box, it just removes one more level of potential discrimination. Because what we ask employers to do, Paul, is to look at the behavior behind the original conviction and to see whether actually that behavior could be repeated if they got the job that they're applying for. If there's no connection, if there's no nexus, as they call it, then there should be no consideration of that past conviction if there's no connection to the job that the person's applying for. And that actually is what has been outlined in the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission's guidelines for employers.
Linda, I'll be interested to see what you can do in other cities and other states around the country in 2014. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you so much for your interest and your support.
Linda Evans is a former. Thank you. You too. Linda Evans is a former organizer and current member of the ex-offender organizing group All of Us or None. I'm Paul Harris. For some of our affiliates, stand by. Truri Ryder is coming up next. For the rest of you, I'll see you next Saturday on America Weekend.
America Weekend.